week and the week before that, we launched a series called Courageously. And didn't Pastor Travis and Pastor Ty do a great job? Can we give God the praise? So if you missed any of that, if you missed those services, make sure you go back and listen to them online. They did a great, great job. But today, I noticed something last year in the political season. I can't believe a year ago right now in the political season. And I noticed something last year was that the word weird got thrown away around a lot. Like one party called the other weird, and the other party's like, we're not weird, you're the weirdos. And they were just kind of saying that because nobody wants to be labeled weird. From very early on in our lives, most of us are growing up years. We just want to be normal, right? Want to fit in, be cool, just kind of not be noticed and be accepted. Though, when I was growing up, like if anyone called you weird, that was like fighting words, okay? I mean, you didn't want to be labeled weird. And some of you have painful memories at one time or another in your life being labeled the weird one. I don't know if you were the kid whose mom, maybe your mom cut your hair with something called a Flowbee. Anybody remember the Flowbee? The revolutionary home hair cutting system. Maybe that's what your mom used on you. Or maybe you had a high school photo like this. This is my high school photo. That's not true at all. I wish I had hair. Not that kind of hair, but can you imagine, like, the mom just let him go like that? Like, that's crazy. Or maybe you went to a different part of the country and you talk different. Like you have a southern drawl like I do. And I worked in Minnesota one time and I'm there in Minnesota and they're like, man, you just sound so weird. And we don't hear you talk. It sounds so weird. I'm like, I'm not weird. You're the guys that sound weird. Like, yeah, you know, you betcha. Oh, geez. You know, that's how they talk. They talk like the Swedish chef and just bouncing around. I just like, it's weird. All of our life, we want to be normal. We want to fit in, and so we end up spending our lives thinking like normal people think and doing what normal people do, and then we end up, as a result, with lives normal people end up with, and quite honestly, that's often a life that's very, very distraught and lack of purpose. And so when the service ends today, we're going to do something today, be courageously weird and follow Jesus by being baptized into him. If you've never done that and you're newer to church, right, you're watching this, you're probably going to think this looks weird to you. You're like, I went to church and the weirdest swimming party ever broke out. And all of a sudden they're dunking people. That didn't look very nice, but they kept plotting every time he did it. And I just want you to know we do this because Jesus told us to do this. It symbolizes that we unite in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so anytime someone believed, there's always baptism. Those two always went together in Scripture. And so today we're doing what Jesus told us to do. He commanded us to do this. So if you're following Jesus, you follow him in baptism. So right before high school, I decided to get baptized. I went into high school, sold out, being weird for Jesus by following the teachings of Jesus Christ from his word. And then I got labeled a Jesus freak. And then years later, I met a weird girl in Malibu, California, doing ministry. Then again in Atlanta, Georgia. And then we got married, and so for the last 25 years, we decided that our marriage, our family, our home, our finances, our faith was going to be weird, not in a bad way, but in a God way. You see, when Jesus walked on the earth, he taught like no one else taught. He said some weird things. Jesus said, you know, the normal says don't commit adultery. But I say if you lust to somebody with your heart, you've committed adultery in your heart. Jesus says, if you want to be first, you must be last. That's weird. So Jesus said, if someone hurts you, you forgive them. You love them anyway. In fact, you pray for your enemies. That's weird. Jesus says, give and it'll be given to you, which is weird because the normal says, take and it'll be given to you. Jesus says, normal says, do not murder. But I tell you, don't let hatred fester in your heart, is what Jesus said. That's weird. So let me show you something I think that was really weird that Jesus said. And he said in Matthew chapter 7, look what he said. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to what? Say it with me. Leads to destruction, and many enter through it. He says, broad and wide is the gate that the majority, many people travel. Unfortunately, that's how we often find comfort, right? Well, look, everybody else is doing it. And if everybody else is doing it, I must be okay. We're normal. Unfortunately, Jesus says many in the crowds or the normal people who choose a broad road that most people choose are on a road that leads to destruction. Many people, he's saying, are choosing destruction. But then he goes on and says, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life and only a what? Say it with me, only a few find it. Listen, if your life looks pretty much like everybody else's life, If you're pretty normal, it could be that you're on the broad road that leads to destruction. Because when you choose a narrow gate over the wide gate, when you choose a narrow road over the wide road, normal people will think you are weird. And that's why I want to invite you to follow Jesus with all of your heart and lead a courageously weird life, beginning with the first step, and that is admitting that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And then following Jesus with that statement by getting baptized today. Because even if you just took a very practical look and practical angle at people's lives today, wouldn't you agree that normal is not working? Like, what's the normal schedule of a family? Normal schedule of family is being overwhelmed, overcommitted, overbooked. We want to spend time with our kids, but our kids are overwhelmed and overcommitted and overbooked as well. And in fact, what's normal when it comes to finances these days? So let's be honest. Normal pursuit of material things that will never bring about happiness. Normal is living beyond our means, maxed out credit cards, families fighting over money, living paycheck to paycheck. What's normal when it comes to romantic relationships? It's just normal these days to have sex outside of marriage. You get friends with benefits and casual hookups. In fact, it's really weird if you're going to be a virgin till you get married, because that's not normal. It's like, come on, you mean you didn't want to test drive it before you bought it? In fact, who needs to get married anyway? That's just too restrictive. That's normal. Normal faith, you know, impacts of faith is also how faith is lived out. It's just normal these days for people just to make God in their own image, even in churches. I'm talking about normal churches where there's this lukewarm, self-centered, spiritual consumerism, a very shallow, me-driven kind of faith that says, well, I'll give God an hour or two a month maybe, but that's all he's going to get. Don't ask me to get involved. Don't ask me to serve in the church. Don't ask me to get in a life group and do community with other disciples of Jesus. Don't ask me to tithe. Don't ask me to learn about his purpose for my life. Don't ask me to love and serve my neighbors and invite someone to church. That's just too radical. I'll give you, God, an hour or two, maybe a month. That's normal. That's normal. And I just got to believe that there's a whole bunch of you who would agree that normal is not working. And so there's two statements I want you to kind of drill in your head today. And here's statement number one. If you want what normal people have, then you do what normal people do. If you want what normal people have, then you do what normal people do. But the flip side, Jesus says, is this. If you want what few people have, then you do what few people do. Will you say that with me on the count of three? One, two, three. If you want what few people have, then do what few people do. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, Jesus says, and many find it. But small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. 25 years ago, Rachel and I got married. We decided that we were not going to be content to live a normal life. We wanted to do what few people do in order to have what few people have. And so we made decisions that most of the people we knew didn't believe in, even though they were Christian. They thought it was weird. We decided not to have sex until after we got married. Now, don't misunderstand me. We made up for lost time afterwards, okay? So, hopefully she's not in the room right now. But anyway, but that was weird because most of our friends, you know, they didn't do that. They did what's so common, like the world does. We decided we would not go into consumer debt like normal people do and finance our lifestyle and debt. We decided to be weird. We decided to honor God with the first 10% of our income, even though we weren't making much, and even though we only had one income for a long time when the kids were there. We decided to tithe and honor God with that because we wanted his supernatural power in our finances. And because we made that choice, we've lived a very different lifestyle. For the last 25 years, we don't know what it looks like to have a lot of pressure in regards to that because God's just blessed us. House payment and credit card payment, we've always honored him. So we've never had to wonder, are we honoring God this month? And that's weird for most people. But if you want what few people have, you have to do what few people are willing to do. You see, weird people don't think like normal people think. I love what Romans chapter 12 says. The Message translation kind of paraphrases it this way. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention to God. You'll be changed from the inside out. If you want to make a change in any area of your life with anything, your approach to your career, your parenting, your health, your relationships, addictions, hurts, habits, your walk with God, whatever, it starts with your mind. You have to change the way you think. Another way of saying it is how you think is how you behave, right? How you think is what you become. And the normal way of thinking is to believe that the world evolves around you, that you are the center of the universe, and it's all about you. The normal parenting, the normal thinking in parenting is sending your 15-year-old daughter on a car date with an 18-year-old testosterone overloaded boy who only has one thing on his mind. Normal is sleeping with people before marriage, moving in together, pretending you're married without ever entering into a holy marriage, sacred covenant between you and them and God. But weird people don't think like normal people think. There's a different motivation. There's a different worldview. There's a truth founded on God's word. There's a sense of this God-given destiny, this eternal perspective that shapes the way that we live. And so if you want what few people have, you do what few people do, and you don't think like normal people think. So it's time. It's time to get courageously weird. And I'm just going to say, if you're not different, if you think like everybody else and you live like everybody else and you act like everybody else, I submit to you that you do not know the God of the Bible. Again, I like the Message paraphrase of 1 Peter chapter 2, and it says, friends, this world is not your home. So don't do what? Say it with me. Don't make yourselves cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Live an exemplary life. That's the way courageously weird people live. They know the temporary. This world is so temporary. This is not all there is. This is not home. So while we're here, what we do is we try to live what ultimately like brings life to us. Like what ultimately matters. Even if it's weird. And can I just say, I am so sick of normal Christianity, especially when I see it traces inside of myself. I'm sick of lukewarm, mediocre, half-hearted, go to church and not be different, any kind of stuff. Many of us grew up in that. You stand up in the songs, you sit down, you stand up again, you sit down, you listen, you go home, change nothing, do nothing, sacrifice nothing. And yet, when I read the Bible, I see Jesus saying, if you want to find your life, you lose it for my sake. You die to self. And that's ultimately what baptism is. I'm one way, I go in the water, and I come out a different way. I go in as a dead man, I come out alive and in Christ. And that's what's going to happen today. And so it's normal for many people to go to church and just worship an hour a week, maybe, or sometimes only 2 hours a month. But family, when your worship becomes a seven-day-a-week passion, that's when we become a God kind of weird. And it's good. Jesus said, you have two choices. The choice is between the narrow gate and the wide gate. Between the narrow road and the wide road. The choice between two destinations. And that is destruction or life. The choice between normal or courageously weird. You see, normal people, broad road people are always reaching for something more, aren't they? Trying to have a little more fun, make a few more dollars, get a higher high and a deeper rush. And it's all so elusive, isn't it? King Solomon said, it's a chasing after the wind. You never quite catch what you think you're going to find when you're on the broad road. You're always searching, you're always reaching, but you're never truly satisfied. There was a guy named David, a young man named David. His parents were struggling. They didn't know what to do with him. He was living a normal life. That is, he was going after every high and chasing everything the world could offer. And he was just going down, 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 until finally his parents decided to make a weird decision. And they brought David, their son, to a weird church called RCC. And they brought David here, and they're like, we don't know what to do. And so all of a sudden, some weird people like Jack Yoakum and Pastor Travis started pouring into this kid, and this kid decided, I'm going to stop following the wide road, and I'm going to get on the narrow road. And he left the narrow gate, he left the wide gate, and he went into the narrow gate through Jesus Christ. And a year ago right now, David gave his life to Jesus and was baptized right here in Jacuzzi for Jesus. It's pretty amazing. He did that a year ago right now. And David decided not just to get baptized, but to fully, obviously, that means I'm devoting my life to Jesus. And he did. And he left, like I said, the normal road, got on the narrow road. He started serving our church. He would come on Thursday nights, listen to the message, worship. And then for three services, every single Sunday, he served in our cafe team. And he got poured into by a whole bunch of weird mentors who taught him about Jesus Christ. And guess what? He poured into other people. Not only was he being poured into, but he was pouring into other kids, other young kids. And one of those kids was my son, River. And I just thought it was amazing watching him take on that mentorship, but also to mentor other people in the name of Jesus. And he continued to grow in Jesus. He formed this community and the cafe team and our other ministries we have in our church. But then 3 weeks ago, David tragically died in a car crash. And we lost David, but we know where he's at. But I want you to hear me. Because he made the decision he made, because he left the wide road and he went on the narrow road, other people have seen his faith and they've been inspired. And people like, look at this, another friend of his just got baptized named Aiden. Aiden just got baptized in Jesus Christ because of David's faith after his death. Another kid named Anthony got baptized into Jesus Christ. And the cool thing about Anthony is now he is serving in David's slot in our cafe team. That's pretty cool. He went from the wide road and now he's on the narrow road just like David did. And then another kid named Wyatt gave his life to Jesus Christ, all because of David's faith. This all happened since David's died. And then David, like I said, was mentoring other kids and pouring into them, like my son. And this one girl that was being mentored by David and being loved on by David in the cafe team, her name is Asia. She just gave her life to Jesus Christ. And not only top of that, it got even crazier. This past Thursday night, Anthony, I told you about Anthony, his mom just got baptized Thursday night in Jesus Christ. Can we give God the praise for how he is using the faith of David? And I just want to say, this isn't just about you. You give your life to Jesus Christ, you have no idea all the people you impact. You have no idea all the people you will come to Christ because of your decision to get baptized today. But friends, wide gate people on the broad road, they're always reaching, they're always going for something more. They never catch it. It's always so elusive, right? And you know it's true in your own life. Sooner or later, the music just starts sounding so empty and so repetitive. Sooner or later, the parties and the stimulants no longer energize you. They start addicting you. And sooner or later, the women and the men who are so alluring, they start disappointing you and jacking you around and breaking your heart. I think about what Solomon said in Proverbs. There is a way that appears. It appears to be right by all the normal broad road people, but in the end, it leads to what? Say it with me. It leads to death. Eventually, normal hammers you. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, you must enter the narrow gate. And you go, okay, Nathan, well, what is the narrow gate? What in the world is Jesus referring to? Look how Jesus describes himself in John chapter 10. Look what it says. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be what? Will be saved. The imagery here, I think that Jesus is using is quite compelling. I mean, Jesus is visualizing a sheep gate on a hill. It's got four walls with a sheep. They're all kind of in there, but there's only one way in and one way out. It's just one little narrow passageway that one little sheep can go out of and one little sheep can go in at a time. That's all. It's just a really narrow area. And so in those days, the shepherd would lay it down across the opening and go to sleep knowing that no sheep could go in and could go out except through that shepherd, except through him. That shepherd was literally the narrow gate. So when Jesus invites us to enter the narrow gate to life, he's saying the only way to God is through him. The only way to God is through Jesus. Whoever comes to God through Jesus Christ will be saved. You know, I've been thinking about the service for a long time and praying about this day I've been praying about this moment for a long time. We have a prayer gathering every single Wednesday right here at 11 o'clock. You're invited to it. And we went over and we prayed over every chair in this room. We pray for God to move in every single chair. And by the way, there's a lot of chairs in here. It took a long time God move in this chair. God transfer the life of whoever's going to be sitting in this chair for whatever service it is. Your chair has been prayed over. And I just believe, and we've been praying that a whole bunch of you would just decide it's time to get courageously weird because normal is not working. And some of you had a nerve struck today. And I believe, as you know, this could be the beginning of a new journey that could change eternity for you. You know you needed this message. You know you need Jesus, the narrow gate in your life. And for some of you, there was a time when you were committed to follow Jesus Christ, but then you just kind of drifted into normal thinking. And it's time for you to get back on the narrow path. And I want you to know something. Jesus is waiting for you with his arms wide open. And he's saying for you today, come home. Come home. Today could be the day that changes everything for you. And today, right now, I want to give you, sincerely give you an opportunity to respond to Jesus in faith by being immersed in baptism. If you've never done that before, or maybe you had it happen when you were a kid, but it wasn't your decision, or maybe you had it a long time ago, you really didn't know what you were doing, I want to encourage you to do that today so you can have what few people have by choosing Jesus. We're ready with everything. Everything's ready for you today. The water's ready, the clothes, everything's ready. And I just want to say, if you're a child, there's a child in the room that's underneath the age of 8, like 7 and under, they have to have already met with our kids ministry before we'll baptize them. So I want to put that disclaimer out there. If a child is 7 years of age or under, they need to have already met with our kids team. But my question to you today, who wants to be courageously weird? I mean, I'm so set on this. I'm like, what could I do to be courageously weird today? I'm gonna go on the baptistry just like this, all right? I'm gonna walk in expecting that many of you are gonna respond in just in a moment. In fact, listen to this. Our 1,000th baptism at RCC is gonna happen in this service. Our 1,000th baptism of all these years is gonna happen in this service. 1,000. And when that happens, we'll let you know what happens. You'll see it over there. When it happens, you just go berserk. Because that person represents 1,000 people who've given their life to Jesus Christ. Some of them, like David, are already home. They're already in heaven because they made a commitment for Jesus in our church family. Sometimes, you know, we give an opportunity for you to follow Jesus. We kind of make it a private thing, you know, bow your head, close your eyes. But today, I just want to do something a little different. Because if you don't get a little weird for Jesus in this room, you're not going to get weird for Jesus outside this room. This is the safest place on the planet right here. And for those of you who've been saying, God, you've been meeting me, you've been speaking to me, and I'm ready to choose what few people choose in order to have what few people have. I'm ready to walk through the narrow gate, Jesus Christ, so he can give me life. I'm going to invite you, when I count to three in just a moment, to rise to your feet publicly. I'm going to ask you to make a courageously weird statement that you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, and that you get baptized, meaning that you came to church dry and you leave here wet. Wouldn't that be something? Jesus was willing to be beaten for you, crucified for you, separated from God for you. Jesus hung, nailed on a cross for you. Jesus was willing to rise up from the tomb for you. Now, I'm asking, are you willing to rise up out of your seat just a moment for him to make the courageously weird decision to accept him as your Lord and Savior? Some of you are in a normal lifestyle right now. You're thinking, you know what? I just got to get my life right while I'm on the normal path, and then I'll get on the narrow path. And let me just tell you right now, that's not how this works. You can't do it by your power. You need the power of Jesus in your life. You need to step through the narrow gate. You need to follow Jesus, and then you'll be saved, not by your good works, but by his grace. And then he gives you the power to change. Amen? Some of you grew up in church, but you know you never made a commitment to Jesus Christ. And just because you grow up around Christians or been to church a few times doesn't make you a Christian. More than just being in a garage makes you a car, okay? You have to make a decision to follow Jesus on your own. You want to get right with God? I'm going to ask you to rise and honor the one who came to earth and lived a sinless life and said some weird things and died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead. And then you can begin a real, genuine, sincere relationship with Jesus and fully surrender to Jesus in baptism today. I know some of you are pushing back. You're like, I can't do it today. I go, why not? You go, well, I got some friends. I came with some friends. I don't want to inconvenience them. They'll have to wait on me. Listen, your friends will rejoice with you, I guarantee it. They will, I promise, they'll rejoice with you. And if for some reason they don't, we'll get you an Uber to take you home, okay? You'll be just fine. Some of you are going, well, I didn't have that planned for today. It wasn't on my calendar. Listen, this might not have been on your calendar, but it's been on God's calendar since the creation of the world today for you. And I get that. That's my story too. I wasn't planning on doing it when I did it. And I'm going to tell you right now, some of you are like, I didn't come prepared. We got everything prepared for you. We got clothes. We got shirts. We got shorts. We got towels. We got dressing rooms. We got everything in the back waiting for you. You say, well, I'm watching online right now. Listen, get in your car and come down to the next service and we'll baptize you in the next service. It's not too late for you. You say, well, I'm terrified of water. I get that. Many people are. But what an incredible opportunity to demonstrate courageously that your love for Jesus is stronger than your fear of water. You go, what if, Pastor, what if you drop me in the baptistry? Listen, I haven't lost a single one yet. I'm batting 100%. Every person we buried in the water, we have resurrected them out of the water, okay? I promise you'll be okay today. I promise. I don't care how tall you are. We try to take away like every excuse you can make to simply for you to respond to Jesus right now. But as convenient as we try to make this for you, you still got to be courageously weird. You've got to do what few people are willing to do in order to have what few people have. And so if you're saying, I'm ready, I'm willing to radically and completely leave the normal path and receive Jesus with all of my heart, I want to ask you to courageously stand in just a moment. I count to three. And we need some of you men in the room to lead the way and show us what it looks like to follow Jesus. So when I count to three, you stand up at your feet. Don't care what anyone else thinks. And by the way, if you stand up, you're going to experience so much love and so much support and so much encouragement from this church. Amen, church. We're going to love on them like you would not believe when they stand up in just a moment. This is your moment. I'm going to count to three. And you know God's convicting you. Don't suppress that. Listen to that and respond. I'm going to count to three. You stand when I count to three. Number one, who's ready to get courageously weird today? Number two, who's ready to follow the narrow path and experience what few people experience? Three, won't you stand up right now if you're going to follow Jesus and be baptized? Stand up right now. Stand up. God's calling you. Stand up. Stand up. It's not too late. God's calling you, stand up. It's not too late. Keep standing. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Keep standing. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have you repeat the statement of faith. There's a statement of faith we're all going to say together. And if you say the statement of faith and you've never said it before, and you're like, man, I believe that. You just stand on up and you follow them in just a moment. Let's all say this together on the count of three. One, two, three. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that Jesus Christ died and buried and rose again on the third day. And I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Can we give God the praise for that confession of faith right there? Amen. Amen. So proud of you. So here's what we're going to do. I want you all to look over to your left. There's Pastor Travis. Head that way. If you're standing right now, go ahead and head that way right now. While they're doing that, church, just let them hear support, love, and encouragement. So proud of you. So thankful for you. Way to go, everybody. Way to go. Praise God. And while they're heading that way, if you're like, man, I should have gone. I should have got baptized. I should have stood up. You can just walk on back whenever you're ready. The baptism is always open to you. All right, everybody, please stand right now. Please stand. And let's worship together as we watch the baptisms of our new brothers and sisters in Jesus. Amen. Can we give God the praise one more time? Give him praise.